Hey guys, it's Matt here, and I got a story for you. When I was a kid, I was playing hockey, and oh man, there was this one year, this one team, we could not beat these guys. They were all over us. They were competitive games, though. They were tight, but we just could not beat them. And I remember the last game of the year, it was up against this team, and we were gearing up. We were like, we have to get these guys. When we won that last game, it was so satisfying because we finally got the victory over the team that had dummied us, that had dominated us for so long. I think this is the same thing with sexual brokenness, with sexual sin, where there's been brokenness in our lives and the enemy has come and taken ground and he's dominated us for so long, but we get to make a difference. We get to be part of a message and a mission of freedom. It is such a cool opportunity. So I want to invite you, men and women of any age, to be part of the Action Squad. The Action Squad is something that we're putting together right now. We're looking for 100 people to be on the Action Squad. There's going to be some competitive nature to it. There's prizes. And we're going to work together to help produce a documentary that is literally going to change the world. We're featuring stories of sexual brokenness, of people who have been restored and redeemed, reconciled to God and to people in their lives. And we're going to feature these stories in this world-class documentary that will be a resource for churches to host movie nights, for small groups to watch together, for families to watch and be inspired by. And it's going to highlight the problem in the church, but also show the power of God that is at work when we bring this stuff to light. And so if you want to be part of the Action Squad and help us put this documentary together, I would love for you to go to restoredministries.ca/action squad. You can watch a 10-minute video there that I put together on what it can look like for you to join us in this mission and be part of putting this documentary together. So restoredministries.ca/action squad. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Pure Victory Podcast, full of hot tips to help you win at sex, conquer porn, and find purpose in staying free forever. Here are your hosts, Matt Klein and Braden Hafner.
And we're back. And it has been a journey for us to get to this episode. You don't know it. Oh, by the way, Pure Victory Podcast. Braden here, Matt here. Sorry, we're just trying to get back into the swing of things here. We've been traveling, both of us, pretty extensively lately. And Matt more than me. I mean, he's been all over the map. But
birds, little birdies flying everywhere, right? Yeah. Flying across North America.
That's right. Enjoying our wonderful airports and airlines.
Braden had an adventure. Yeah. My flights have been smooth. I don't know. I've had 10 flights lately. It was 10 for 10. Just
Were great.
Braden and Kristen, different story.
My wife and I, we were stuck in LaGuardia in New York for almost the full day. And
I think
then
you
Toronto.
Even said that with the New York accent.
Did I? LaGuardia.
LaGuardia.
Yeah. Hey, I'm walking here. Yeah, no. And then Toronto, we were stuck there for like a full day too. So I'm glad to be home. Let's just put it that way. But thankfully we're safe.
Extra adventures. We're okay.
Extra adventures. Yeah. Lots of good memories for us. But anyways, glad to be here to get into this episode today. This has been an area that we've had some feedback on from others, we've seen in our own lives, and just our culture at large. We're going to talk about social media today. This is a huge area that I think we all interact with and engage with. And I know that's a big topic. What do you mean by social media? Well, we understand that we all have social media in our lives. It is something that we use as a tool, for others as a distraction. Sometimes it's just for pleasure. We use it in a lot of different ways. And it can be, like I said, a tool, neither good nor bad, but also for many of us that maybe are battling porn, battling addiction, it is an entryway. It is something that pulls us deeper into our addictive patterns and behaviors. And let alone the fact that social media, we know, is very addictive all by itself. So this is something that we want to talk about, how to use social media, how it should be part of our lives, if it should be part of our lives. We're going to go through a lot of different tracks of understanding in this area for us. And so let's get into Matt. Let's talk about social media.
Let's even go higher level at the start. I've been reading about devices, and my wife in particular has been reading about devices. But how much time on your device do you spend on social media? You know, we get these updates, some of us, on our phones. I get them, and it's like, hey, you spent 6 hours on your phone every day or 8 hours on your phone every day. And some of it, I think, is just, for me at least, put my phone down on the counter and YouTube plays or podcast plays or something. I think that's some of it, but I think most of it is we're just looking at our phones. And so if you think about then how much of that is useful, how much of that is just on social media and scrolling and numbing and wasting time, it's pretty sad, honestly, when it, I think like how many hours and hours and hours, like thousands of hours have I spent scrolling over, when did I get social media? I think it was 19 when I got Facebook for the first time. So just how many hours, right? And what more could I have done? So we need outlets for us to just kind of escape and cool down and stuff. But just to have some wisdom and have like a higher level look, there's social media and there's devices. So I read this quote from Steve Jobs last week, and somebody was asking him like how his kids use social media and how, or not social media, how his kids use devices and what that looks like in their home. And he's like, we don't give our kids devices. They don't have them. Like at our dinner table, we don't have devices. Parents, kids, we sit together and we talk. It was like, man, this guy made Apple. Like he made the iPhone. And he sees the danger of it. And so if he's doing that, it was a couple of days after I read this, and I was down in Minnesota with a great group. There's my Canadian accent.
Minnesota.
I heard that.
Hey, Minnesota, like, oh.
Minnesota. Oh, man. Minnesota? Is that how you say it? Just softer.
Just say mini.
Mini, there you go.
Go to mini.
That's safe.
Yeah.
That's safe. I was down there, and he's like, man, this guy said to me, he's like, these guys that make phones and down in Silicon Valley, they make it, they profit off of it, but they don't tell us what they do personally with it because they, so many of them have caution with it, with their kids and their own lives. Of course, I'm sure not all, but lots of them do. So we're just kind of the suckers on the other end of it, the consumerism or the consumeristic end of it going, hey, this is necessary in my life. Is it though? And so my wife, I'm proud of her. For the last 3 years, she hasn't had social media. Man, it's done wonders in her life. It's amazing. Like she's just more at peace. She doesn't need to, you know, get likes and stuff. And like she takes a photo and she can just enjoy it for our family and keep it. And it doesn't need to instantly be put on social media. And then she's just more at peace with, you know, relationships. And I would say even relationships, and she would say relationships they've gotten deeper for her because she's like, when I want to talk to someone, I talk to them, I call them. And she has these long, long FaceTime calls or phone calls or, you know, of course, text conversations. And she reflects on it often because she's like, before I would take a picture and I just post it. And then you got to go back and see what comments there are and back and see what likes right. there are. And yeah. then if you're thinking about somebody or, you know, want to see what they're up to, or maybe somebody has hurt you or whatever the case is, you just go and you creep on their page and you just look and it's like, well, what does that do? Like either you're comparing yourself negatively or you're like getting bitter because this person that hurt you is just living their life and you don't really know. So we met this girl, my wife and I not met her, but just saw her after a few years and saw her recently. And so she was telling me about how hard her life is right now. And there were just a lot of challenges. And then very shortly after that, we saw this post and she's like, I'm living in my dream right now. And this life that I've prayed for, I'm living it. And we're just like, yeah, I mean, we're sure that's true to a degree. We're glad you're grateful, but we also know the truth. Because the truth of the challenges are there. And so social media, you know, we all know it in theory, but I just want to encourage you, like, take a few minutes and think and pray, like, how much time do I spend on there numbing and what's the effect of that? Because if we just don't really think about it, like, yeah, I know it's bad. And then it's more of a guilt thing. I don't want it to be guilt motivated if we make changes with social media, but rather like, oh, this isn't healthy for me. So what are the effects of social media on your life? Brad, you're not on social media that much.
No, I barely am involved in it. I mean, I have Facebook, but I don't use it very often. And I mean, there's reasons for that in my life too, but I think I have recognized, like you're mentioning what Louise was, and that when you're very active in social media, you can though, get to this kind of comparative mindset. You're looking at others' lives and you feel down on yourself because people are giving you their highlight reel, their finish line, so to speak, and in some of these things in life. And you compare that to your life and you feel bad. And it just creates this nasty cycle. The emotions that you feel often in when you're navigating some of these sites and these platforms often is negative. Longing is there. And then when it comes to relational components, you're more passive. You're not having an active relationship with another. You're passive in that. You can see maybe what's going on in their life in the highlight reel, but you don't really know what's going on for them. You don't have those conversations. We're not engaging with people the way that we should be anymore. We're having, you know, snippets of interaction with another and there's no depth. It's very superficial. So then we become superficial. And I just want to say this very clear. Like, again, social media can be a tool. It's neither good nor bad. It's what we make it. And unfortunately, though, the components of it do interact with us often negatively, draws us into a certain kind of pattern of emotion, a certain pattern of behavior sometimes. It's really funny, isn't it? Like, it makes us feel bad about things and you think you'd avoid that, but it draws us in. It's really odd that it makes us do that. Like, when we're feeling bored or down in life or whatever, we will go to social media. We'll see others and what they're doing, what they're posting, and we'll make our comments on their page or their, you know, kind of their pictures on Instagram, whatever. We'll make their comments and they'll like things. And then the kind of, it's like this transactional thing. We do that for them. We expect them to do it for us. So we'll post something. Hey, you know, I was just at McDonald's. Look at my Big Mac. You know, you take a Instagram photo of that. You know, YOLO, whatever. And then you want all those likes. And we get the dopamine hit when we do that. And it makes us feel better about ourselves for a moment. When we don't get some of the likes or the comments that we're looking for, we feel down on ourselves. It's just this really odd, weird thing that we do in this culture and day and age.
So why don't you go on social media? Part
of that is because of what I'm saying. You know, I don't love that aspect and I don't want to post my whole life to the world. Like I don't want to feel obligated when I'm at a beautiful restaurant with my wife to have to take pictures of us smiling for others. This is a private moment for me and her, and I don't want to share it with another person. We were just in Miami. Those photos are for me and her, you know, taking pictures on the beach or the beauty of that location. I don't need to post that to try to get the affirmation of another. And I'm not saying this to say, hey, look at me, I'm better than you. That's not it at all. This is just something personally that my wife and I, this is the stance we've taken, is it? And we're more free, we find, when we're going on vacation to places like that. I don't have to take 500 photos and post them so that people can see what we're doing. I don't feel the obligation to do that. And so that I can just be in the moment. I can be present. I don't have to, you know, take a selfie and pose myself in a certain way to look the best that I can so that I get that like. It's freeing, to be honest. I really like that. Plus, also, I don't have Instagram. I mean, our ministry, our organization has Instagram. There's good people that post there and post all the things we're doing. I don't like being on Instagram. And the stance I've taken, the reason why is because Instagram, as we know, is one of those big hooks. It can be. I mean, when you scroll Instagram, there is pictures of some pretty lewd stuff, even if you're not even looking for it. And I don't want that in my life. Now that's me. That's the kind of stance I've taken. If you're on Instagram, use it as a tool for your work. In life, I'm not hammering on you at all. Like often we do need to use these things, these platforms, because it's important in this marketplace that we're in, this culture we're in. This is just something that a stance that I've taken because I know my triggers and I know that I'd be triggered if I was scrolling Instagram and I'm seeing these, for instance, Instagram models posting their workouts. Don't want to see that. It's not good for me. So that's why I don't have it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I like that you say you're more free too. Mm-hmm. And that you can just be more private, more content.
Right.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. And honestly, though, I understand that's not everybody's story. Like they need to use it for work and other things too. But it is a question I think we all need to ask ourselves. Like some of us, if it is, that is your main trigger point, your main arousal kind of template where you're going to Instagram and then eventually go to porn or masturbation. Matt, we've talked to people like this. You've coached people in this. You probably need to get rid of social media for about 6 months to reset your brain. Like you might have to take drastic steps like that because that is your entry point. That is your gateway drug, so to speak. And then you just go deeper into your addictive patterns. And we don't want that for you. So you might have to make tough calls, tough decisions. Hey, I need to get rid of social media for a period of time.
Happens all the time. Guys are like, oh, it started on Snapchat, or saw a reel on TikTok or whatever it is. You see friends posting couple pictures, their marriages, and you're single or separated or divorced, and you just feel lonely and start chatting to people or looking stuff up. It happens all the time. So you guys in Pure Freedom Journey, I feel like calling you guys out there listening. If you are struggling with social media, I'm not calling you out negatively. I'm just saying you're on my heart a lot. Mm. So we want you guys to be free. And you guys who are not in Pure Freedom Journey is all good too. Same thing. But like, hey, if you're in this journey and you're investing in yourself, but still getting drawn back by social media, maybe it's time to take a stand. And so be aware of that. I know for me, I don't really post a lot personally. If you look at my Facebook, I don't know last time I posted other than ministry stuff. I'm sure there's been something recently, but in the last few months. But anyways, my personal Instagram, it just got hacked like a month ago or something.
Right. And
I'm doing this podcast interview with someone and my phone is just blowing up. I'm looking like in my peripheral, like out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, oh, all these people that I don't even really hear from a lot, they're all texting me. I'm like, what's going on? And then get off the interview and I'm like, oh, I'm promoting Bitcoin now, Bitcoin mining on my Instagram. And then my wife comes banging on the door. Your Instagram got hacked. I'm like, yeah, I know. I saw that. So at least it was personal, not Instagram. I couldn't care less about the personal one.
Right.
There's one photo that I loved of one of my sons. I'm like, that's kind of gone. But I think we have that somewhere.
Yeah.
But anyways, I just didn't care. Louise, like, if you get this back, just delete it. I'm like, yeah, that's totally fine. I don't even know why I had it, honestly. And so just to think about that, I was like, why do you have it? I didn't really use it. If you have a page, can you get rid of it? We would like to get it back. If somebody out there has expertise on how to get it back from a hacker, that'd be great. Yeah, he did a good job. He fooled Instagram too. So I don't really care. We would get it back and then delete it just so that somebody else doesn't have access. But we think that he just deleted the whole account. So anyways, at least it wasn't ministry. So we have ministry, Facebook, Instagram. If you haven't followed yet, you can. If you're on there, Restored Sexuality on Instagram. I don't post a lot on there. Other people post for me, which is good. But I still go on and I see the response to posts and DM with people, and just have to be very aware. You can change the algorithm all you want. And I do I click intentionally on sports things or on scripture. Basically that's what it is, like pastors and
yeah. You
hockey.
You said own your algorithm, right?
You own your algorithm.
Yeah. I love it. Like your inputs equal your outputs. So you put input good things, people that you look up to, pastors, motivational stuff, and that's what you get spit out back at you.
100%. And so, and that's something that I do. And even with that, Instagram still throws in these little risque pictures of people on a beach or trainers, whatever, right? So it's not full of it, but you go to the search page in Instagram, there's always something. So when I'm on there, I got to be aware of that. And I am. And lots of time I have to block pages or delete certain things or own the algorithm again and influence it again. So, there's times where you need it, but what's the wisdom that you have with it? Can you use it as a tool, right? Can you send people encouraging DMs? Can you send people encouraging comments? Can you see somebody's post on social media and then send them a text or give them a phone call just about their post and encourage them with it, or like, hey, it looks like you're doing great, or hey, there's a struggle in your life. I saw this post, just want to say I'm praying for you or whatever, and then actually pray for them if you're saying that. But can you use social media for good, right? Because there's not just the bad side, but there's the good, and we don't want to ignore that. We have a lot of people reach out through Instagram, through Facebook, and I think it's a fantastic thing. So can you use it for good and still just have wisdom? Know where you are, right? There's not like a hard and fast scripture, thou shalt not be on Instagram. It's not that. So just use wisdom. And if you do need to take a step back, you reflect, go, this is affecting me. Maybe it's not leading you to porn, but it's just planting thoughts in your head.
Yeah.
That then you have to fight off. Those are annoying thoughts. Maybe it's good to take a break for a little bit and then rewire your brain with how you can respond to these pictures or videos when they come up. Same thing on like Facebook. These addiction experts that they have trained Facebook that, hey, you should always make a notification every time someone opens the app, put a notification on. So you can go on Facebook, clear your notifications, go back on 10 seconds later, there's a new notification. Like, hey, you haven't posted in this group and there's been 10 posts since you were last there. You don't need to know that. Why do you need to know that? But one of the main things they do on the app is they put the notifications on where the videos are at the bottom.
Yep.
And so they put a notification there. You click on it. Lots of those are dirty. And you got to influence the algorithm, own the algorithm on that, and continually block. I honestly don't even know what blocking does. I've blocked how many like dirty videos on there.
Me too.
And then they still keep coming back.
They don't listen. They don't listen at all.
It's like you just think you're doing something. So yeah, have wisdom with it, but also don't just think negatively. It's like, how could you use this for good and start to kind of with the Lord, like redeem the influence of social media.
Yeah. And one thing I'll say too is if you need to take a step back, you need to really combat the mindset that, I'm weak. And I have to step back because I'm weak and I don't have the strength to do this. That's the wrong mindset. You actually have incredible strength in the Lord when you own your behavior and you release it to Him and then you pull back in things. That's part of our healing journey. We need to do that. And you might be at that stage where you need to do that. And if you're wondering, well, what's my time frame? Well, you're a unique person. We do know by experts that it takes sometimes up to 3 months, some say 6 months, to reset some of your brain chemistry and to kind of, you know, bring your dopamine levels back down to a manageable level because you've been so heightened for so long. So there's different, we hear different things from experts, 3 months, 6 months. Matt, you probably heard some stuff too. And so we need to understand there will be a time frame of extended period where we are doing other behaviors and we are moving away from something. And then eventually, maybe you will be able to come back to social media. And as Matt's talking about it, when you do though, you need to have a game plan. If you go back to your former life patterns that you used before you got rid of social media, you're just going to go back to what you were doing before. So, you know, like right now, Matt and I, we're on MacBooks. Don't hate on us if you're an Android person or a PC person. But the reason I bring it up is because when we both got these, we were given an operating manual. Everything that you buy, tech, whatever else, anything, your vehicle, you get operating manuals. You have a better understanding when you read those manuals, how to use the product that you purchased. It's the same thing with social media. Before you go back to it, have an operating manual for yourself. Build some guidelines, amount of time that you're going to be on it. How are you going to use it? I think that is, if you can use more positivity within your interactions of social media, like Matt said, sending positive, encouraging messages to people, reading encouraging biblical-based advice for yourself, watching different pastors or preachers that you really like, engaging with some things that are positive and proactive in your life on those platforms. But being aware, I think that often we're so passive when it comes to our use with things like social media that we're not understanding the influence it's having on us and we're not understanding the choice that we have in some of these things. We just become swept by the tide of social media and, you know, you're spent 3 hours on it or whatever. And you're like, what just happened? So if you're proactive, if you have some procedure with this, like an operating manual, this is what I'm going to do when I go on social media, you're going to be set up for better success with it and use it as a tool versus it using you and it interacting with you in a negative way. And then it pulls you back into those patterns, maybe of going to masturbation or porn. So we have to have some awareness of what we're doing in life. You have to have a plan. If you just get rid of social media for 6 months, but have no plan. I mean, I always think of that. I mean, it doesn't really relate, but it does on a level. But when scripture, when Jesus talks about tying up the strong man, but also, you know, getting rid of demonic presence in your life is really what he's saying. If so you do that and that demonic presence leaves, but if it comes back and finds a home swept and nothing's in it again, it's just going to be even worse for you. It's the same kind of mentality. You get rid of something, you have to fill your life with something good too. So use that time that you're getting rid of social media to fill your life with good, to fill your life with the patterns that are going to make you healthy. Your walk with Christ, being very vibrant in that area, lean into that. Your accountability and your community structures, being very intentional about those things and having those things. More proactive behavior in your health and your physical health and your spiritual health, having those things in place. Because if you do nothing when you get rid of social media, Matt and I would just say it's probably not going to be, very successful. You're not going to be very successful when you come back to it. Because we understand it is a tool in our world. Like it is the way that we connect to many people. So we're not going to tell you that you have to get rid of it forever. Some of you, maybe that's the case, but we understand we're realists here. We know that for business and work, different things, sometimes we need to use it. So you got to have a plan in place. If you don't, you're just going to get swatted around and we don't want that for you.
It's kind of like people say money is it's not good or bad. It just reveals your character. Mm-hmm. And you could say with social media, not necessarily good or bad, but it reveals the state of your heart. And so are you using it to escape or lust, or are you using it for good? Right. And so if you need to take time, just make sure that you're not just idle in that time, take time away, but renew your mind, heal your heart, come back. Maybe it could be a redemption thing. You're seeing pages that used to bring you back and now they're not bring you down. I saw this video on Instagram. There you go. So, And it was just so funny. This guy, he goes, this like a week ago, he said, working out is kind of like golf. No, sorry. He didn't say that. He said, working out is the opposite of golf. It's like working out. I don't really feel like going. I got to convince myself, go there, get through the workout, leave. I feel great. This guy is so funny. He's like leaving the golf course when he's doing this. He's just like so beat up on life. He's like, golf, I think about it all week. I can't wait. I want to get to the golf course. And then I go and it's terrible. And I leave and I feel like crap about myself. And I feel terrible. Like, why do I do this to myself? Yeah. I didn't even have fun. Now I just feel worse. It was so funny. And so I think about that too with social media is like, how do you feel after a time on social media? And so can you redeem that? And can you go, okay, I'm actually going to use this for good and send messages and have really good, healthy conversations. And I just think that's great. So if we could do that and then also be aware of the downside, I think that's good from a lust standpoint, but also just from an emotional health standpoint.
Yeah.
And are you using it to advance God's kingdom? Or are you just kind of using it to waste time when God has so much more for you?
Yeah.
And so if you need to take a step back from like my wife for 3 years or just indefinite, she doesn't have a plan on coming back. I think that's awesome. I'm on there primarily for the ministry. And I think that's great too. But more and more, I'm just getting other people to do things for us, do posts or run ads or whatever it is. So I'm just like trying to step back more and I love it. So if you could do that even just for mental health and for emotional health, for real life connection, not deceiving yourself into thinking that you're connected when really we're not, I think that'd be really good. So
yeah. And some tips with it too. That's a great mindset to have what you're describing. I think that we need to have some environmental awareness about how we use it. I mean, kind of coming back to that, if you're scrolling social media late at night before bed, we would just say to you, probably not the best time because you're more acting out of your limbic system than your prefrontal cortex. And that's just a brain thing. Meaning that you're more reactive, you're more emotional, your inhibitions are down. You're not thinking clearly, you're tired. And so you're going to make decisions that often steer more negative, steer more towards your bad behaviors. So be aware of when you are using social media, the time of day, your environment, is there certain areas that you have gone to social media in the past that trigger you? And so these are some of the questions that you need to start asking yourself. Because again, the lack of awareness is often the reason why we are engaging with social media in a way that is harmful for us. We're not aware. We're not aware of what we're feeling. We're not aware of our environment. We're not aware of how we're using it. We're just not aware. So that's why you need to start asking these questions and you might need the help of others. I know that sometimes there's blind spots in our life that we don't see. We're not aware and we need our loved ones sometimes that see our life, know our life a little bit better, that can speak into that. Because sometimes you don't realize, man, I'm using social media way too much. And your loved one, ask, hey, if you're a guy, ask your wife, ask her, and vice versa. Ask your husband, if you're a woman, ask your husband, how often am I using this? Is this impacting my current relationship with you? am I stepping away from my responsibilities because I'm stuck in this world that is digital? Ask your loved ones those questions. And they're hard questions to ask, but sometimes you need to have those difficult conversations because we're not aware of how this is impacting even others. So think of that too. This doesn't just impact me, it impacts people around me. And we need to ask those people that are closest to us, is it impacting them? Because we know the stats. Our level of activity with social media these days and is quite advanced. I mean, we're on it a lot. And we're on our devices, as Matt said, a lot. So monitoring that, you know, maybe I'm on this too much. And maybe not even a porn thing. Like maybe it's just I'm addicted to my device and social media, which isn't helpful either. I mean, maybe it's not advanced as porn, but man, it's keeping you distracted in life. You're not being able to focus on the things that really matter. And I'm putting my hand up to this too, because I can do this too. I mean, I'll scroll sports stuff to the detriment sometimes of my marriage, and my wife will call me out on that. Like, hun, you've been on this way too much. She'll tell me, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. And so that's important for us to recognize that this is impacting others too.
But sports is necessary, Brad. You can just tell Kristen.
That's true. Just like the air we breathe, we need it.
You need it.
Hey, the Oilers are on a 16-game winning streak as of recording today.
Oh, man, they're on a heater. I know. So just tell her. Like Matt said, Matt agrees with me. It's okay. I got to read about the Oilers.
That's right.
Resources. If you want to watch The Social Dilemma, if you haven't yet, it's a great show just on the social media dilemma. And if you want to read a book that we are reading lately called The Glow Kids, or not The Glow Kids, but just Glow Kids, it's a great book. It'll freak you out, honestly, about the impact of devices and what we do with it and the impact on our brain and on our mental health, and just like gets into the science of it. And very fascinating, very eye-opening. And so I encourage you to do that, and just really encourage you also just to have wisdom. If you want to get some help, please go to familylifecanada.com. There's events going on for your marriages all throughout Canada. And there's resources just that you can take in. If you want help for sexual stuff, for porn, then restoredministries.ca. There's different resources there, and you can book a call to see what's best for you. So hope that that's a blessing, and we will chat next week.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to hear more, please visit purevictorypodcast.com to subscribe. This podcast was made possible by the generous donations of our subscribers. If you would like to help support the cause financially, once again, please visit purevictorypodcast.com.